This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I want to thank you all for tuning in this weekend, and thank everybody for all the emails that I've received over this last week. It was a pretty important week as we ended the week, month, and quarter, and it was one of the best quarters for the U.S. equity markets in over 10 years. That is in the face of still a lot of people worried, including the Fed, about the global economy and even general health of these markets. First two segments, we are going to look more specifically at the risk-on trade, and in the second two segments, more at the risk-off trade. To kick off the show, I am chatting with Dana Lyons. He is a regular guest on the show, a fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, let's start off by getting your assessment of these U.S. equity markets. You always do a lot of research on the internals and the breadth within these markets. What can you share with us regarding the U.S. equity markets right now?
Sure, Corey. I think, you know, obviously late December was the time to get involved on the long side. Whether or not, you know, we believe in the broad market, a bear market may have kicked off in the fourth quarter there in that nasty sell-off, despite the bounce back in, especially in the large caps. I don't think that view has been disputed. That said, as we noted at the time, that late December low was a huge buying opportunity, whether it's a short or intermediate term in the stock market. And obviously, we've seen a huge run-up since then. Of late, in the last several weeks, we've gotten up into those towards those former highs from last year, or at least into the congestion of last year, and figured the going would get a little bit tougher from there. So we've been mostly consolidating for the last, I call it, month or so. Starting to see a couple red flags pop up. One in terms of breadth, which has been lagging. Small caps obviously been lagging quite a bit. Also volatility, as we spoke about before, volatility was not confirming the most recent bump up in the market, at the end of last week or middle of last week. And we did indeed see that, as is often the case when volatility and the stock markets aren't seen eye to eye, volatility typically ends up being the market that's correct. And we've seen a little bit of softness since then. So that was another red flag. Outside of that, no screaming sell signals necessarily, especially in the large caps, which still have a shot at going back up to their previous highs, maybe making new highs. And you have a handful of sectors that have been leading the way that also have further upside potential. But overall, nothing would not be bailing out of everything right now, but we would not be certainly would not be loaded up on the long side either in the stock market.
So let's talk about volatility, because we did see a pop in volatility at the tail end of last week when we saw that drop in the markets come. But this week, volatility did just kind of drift lower. And although it's not to the levels where it dropped to about a couple weeks ago, still volatility does remain generally muted and still very much in this downtrend as well. That's got to provide some comfort to equity investors, doesn't it?
Yeah, as an equity investor, as long as it's not too low, you want to see volatility expectations depressed. Of all the markets, that is one that tends to be more of smart money market. So if you see volatility start creeping up, especially if stocks are continuing to rise, that could be a heads up like it was last week. So you prefer to see volatility expectations subdued. That said, we are continuing to make a series of higher lows. lows, going back to the lows of last year in the volatility market. So that is certainly, on a longer term basis, that's certainly one area of concern for us, that eventually, you know, if we can't break down and make new lows in the volatility market, then that's a sign that maybe these gains ultimately in the stock market will not be sustainable.
Now, what about the bond market? That is one market where we have seen quite a bit of money fly into. We've seen yields, especially on the long end, really come down. And you look at something like TLT. TLT is at well over a 52-week high. We need to go the whole way back to 2016, the late part of 2016, to see TLT at this level. What do you think? Is there still more upside in bonds?
I don't see a ton more upside in the short term. As you know, we talked last time that the bond market at the time, a couple weeks ago, was coiling for a big move. We thought it was going to be a big move to the upside, and that was the best opportunity. That was the time to get involved in bonds. Now we're getting to the point where we'd be taking some profits there, especially in the 30-year. TLT, I don't see a ton more upside in the near term. Same thing with corporate bonds. 10-year's got a little bit more room to go. 10-year yields to the downside, prices to the upside. So there's a little bit more, especially with the momentum that kickstarted last week or a couple weeks ago. There's certainly a little bit more potential based on just the momentum, but I don't see a ton more upside to the point where I'd want to be getting involved here. In fact, I'd start lightening up here in the bond market, especially again in the 30-year and the corporate space.
So even though we had that short-term breakout, it does, again, not sound like you think it's just going to be screaming higher, which speaks to kind of the general nature of a lot of these markets in a range, although some ranges are tighter, but we have the wide range in the U.S. equity markets, although that is tightening up if you look at a more short-term basis. We also look at, well, just a number of different markets. The U.S. dollar is also relatively in a range, but I think you can still argue with a slight upward bias. What does that tell you about the overall investing climate?
Maybe it's a period of transition. You know, we've had big moves up in the stock market, big move up now in the bond market. Maybe we've had gold and crude had a nice bounce up. Maybe all this is coincident with, you know, a Fed that has turned considerably more dovish than they were in December. So maybe that has been one of those liquidity moves. At this point, I would say, in the near term, a lot of that's probably run its course, so maybe we're going to be in a bit of a consolidation phase, if not a transition phase, back the other way. Too early to tell, but you have to, that's why we take a broad market view of things, you know, trying to find opportunity where they are, because, you know, stock, that markets don't trend one way or another continuously. They'll go up and then consolidate and or go down and consolidate and turn around. So you have to have your eyes, or we like to have our eyes in as many places as possible, trying to find opportunities when especially during dead times when markets are basically moving sideways. There's usually somewhere around the world that might be opening up opportunities.
So what about commodities? Let's wrap it up here with your comment on what the commodities markets or charts are telling you.
Longer term, we're not that bullish on commodities. We think the softness we've seen over the last couple of years, especially after, you know, 2016 had the potential to kick off another major bull market. We've seen a pretty disappointing action in commodities over the last year or so, especially given other markets that have continued higher, the equity market specifically. Commodities have been pretty soft, so I think probably they're setting the stage for more softness over the long term. So I think any major rallies we see in commodities and crude oil would be probably selling opportunities for us.
Okay. Dana, great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us this weekend. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Dana Lyons, and I think everybody is going to enjoy this segment as I am bringing back on David Brady, president and co-founder of the Global Pro Traders website. I had David on, it's a number of weeks ago now, but I got a lot of very positive feedback from what David had to say regarding the markets that we talked about. So now it's time to have him back on and discuss this transition that we are going through currently this weekend from Q1 to Q2. Q1 was a very good quarter for U.S. equities, and it was also a good quarter for some of the safer haven investments. But first and foremost, David, you and I were talking off mic, and you think beginning next week we could start to see some more serious trouble for U.S. equity markets. Please explain.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on, Corey. I appreciate it. Yes, you're exactly right. I think that we are heading into trouble for stocks beginning next week. And why do I say that? So let's look back at Q1. We had the buyback blackout in Q1, and it was a non-event. Why? Why did stocks rally so tremendously from December 24th until now? Well, you had the Chinese come out in January and print what amounted to 5% of their GDP in 1 month. 5% of their GDP in stimulus. And then you had the Fed do a verbal 180 that surprised many people, especially the extent of the 180 in January, at the January FOMC also on top of that. So you take those two factors together, and that's why you have we had a significant rally in stocks off the lows, which I anticipated. I said back in February of 2018 that I expected the crash to begin in October of 2018 of 20 to 30%. That's what we got. But crashes are not like you go straight down and then straight back up and everything's over. They're an ABC event, as the Elliott Wave theorists like to say. Well, A down was October to December. The B wave rally, which actually I stated back on December 24th, was coming. I tweeted that, and we would go to 2800. Well, here we are. Well, next is wave C down, if this scenario continues to play out. And why do I believe that that's coming next week, or at least in the next month? Well, we don't have any Chinese stimulus to prop up the markets anymore to negate the next buyback blackout, which is accelerating fast towards as it begins in earnest next week. And I posted a chart on Twitter to this effect. I believe it's from Deutsche Bank, which clearly identifies the dates and who's locked out in terms of buybacks over the next month and when. So that's coming. And then, you know, the dovishness of the Fed, well, it's been all talk so far. We haven't seen any action except they haven't hiked rates any further. But other than that, it's just talk. I said before the FOMC meeting last Wednesday that I believe no matter how dovish the Fed would be on interest rates and the balance sheet reduction program, that after this meeting, it would be all priced in. And actions need to follow up those words. Well, I still believe that. I believe now that there's nothing really, in addition, the Fed can add at this point that can prop up the markets. And the last thing I will say is the other factor that the market tends to focus on, which I find a little humorous because it's been shown to be a cry wolf situation for quite some time. It's the U.S.-China trade issue, the trade war, trade negotiations. And the Chinese have said, and people seem to have forgotten this last week, that there's going to be no resolution of that until May, based on their expectations, and they were very specific. They said the fourth week of May. And now we have, you know, various luminaries coming out saying that, oh, the deal's going well, the trade negotiation's going well, a trade deal will prop up the markets further. Well, the Chinese said there's nothing happening until the fourth week of May, and even Kudlow came out there, the perennial optimist, and said they're still far away from a deal last week. With that in mind, you don't have trade deal coming to the rescue. And if I look at soybeans prices, which are closely correlated to these trade negotiations, in other words, they've been falling for quite some time since March 2018. They've stabilized at the bottom and have a slight bounce now in the hope that a trade deal is reached. But they started falling again a few days ago, actually soon after the Chinese announcement. So that's not going to ride to the rescue. But what is coming is the buyback blackout. I posted a tweet yesterday showing Al Pacino from Godfather Part 3, where he's basically saying, every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. And I was referring to the S&P and 2800. It's been trying to break down, and then it fails, and then it bounces, but it doesn't get very far before it comes back down. And this has happened for a number of days in a row, and that's this week. Well, what is this week? It's the end of Q2. It feels like window dressing to me. They're keeping the numbers up for performance purposes. Well, what starts on Monday? Q2. Sorry, Q1 was what they were trying to keep the performance.
Jump in there and say Q1 right now in the transition into Q2.
Exactly, yeah. So the Q1, they're trying to keep prop the market up to maintain the performance numbers for Q1. But on Monday, Q2 begins, and that's when the buyback blackout really starts to bite. So there's no guarantees in this market, but the stocks have come a long way from 2346 up to 2860. That was the expectation. We've reached it. Now we've stalled somewhat, and now we're heading into a new quarter, and the buyback blackout is right dead ahead of us. There's no Chinese stimulus to save it. Fed dovishness is priced in. The risk-reward, the odds favor downside. And the tail risk is that it could be sharp.
Okay. Now, can we also just get a quick comment on the metals, too? I know that you also follow the metals closely, as well as many other markets. But how do you think the setup is right now for the precious metals?
Well, a lot of people are splitting hairs and getting in the weeds on this right now. But to be honest, I'll put it bluntly, we're in no man's land. Gold is oscillating between 1280 and 1350 on the wide. It hit 1330 at the recent high. And you know, it could go either way. If it breaks 1350, we're going to get a test of 1377, the 2016 high. If we break 1280 on the downside, then you've got the 200-day moving average waiting for you at 1251, and you've got the 200-week moving average just below that at 1241. And we'll take baby steps. We'll see if that happens first. But, you know, in saying that, the fundamental backdrop is extremely bullish for gold if stocks drop. Why is that? Because the Fed has made it clear in recent statements, numerous of them, from various people, from former Fed Chair Yellen to New York Fed Head Williams to Powell himself, that in the event of the next crisis, not only will they return to rate cuts and QE, but they're going to use tools that they previously rejected. What are these tools? Well, negative interest rates, a cap on bond yields, Japan style, and buying corporate debt and equities.
All right. Hey, David, great having you on the show, and I think some very level-headed comments for everyone to pay close attention to how we start off Q2. David, great having you on the show. Again, go check out David's site, Global Pro Traders. I will also post a link in that weekend show posting. Thanks for your time this weekend, David.
Thanks very much, Corey. Appreciate it.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is asking for DHS employees to volunteer to assist with the southern border mission. This as the news came out that 4,000 illegal aliens are trying to enter the United States from our southern border. Regarding that large number of people trying to cross into the United States illegally, former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson tells MSNBC,
"My staff will tell you if it was under 1,000 apprehensions the day before, that was a relatively good number. On Tuesday, there were 4,000 apprehensions. I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis."
Georgia lawmakers have passed a bill banning abortion after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which usually occurs after about 6 weeks. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is expected to sign the bill next week. This is USA Radio News.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. That's 800-586-7112.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Lobo Tigre, founder and editor of the Independent Speculator. Lobo, you and I were talking off mic about a number of different factors within the resource sector, and you said to me, you know what, I think the most important thing right now is what China is doing, more specifically, what the People's Bank of China, their central bank, is doing that could help support commodities. Now, these are still all just kind of question marks in terms of what exactly the People's Bank of China is doing and to what extent they are going to do, but can you share some insights on a new China beige book that you read and why you think the People's Bank of China right now is crucial to the resource sector?
Right. So first, to give credit where due, the China Beige Book guys, Leland Miller is the CEO there. There are lots of sources of information on China. Few of them are reliable. China Beige Book does a survey of over 3,000 CEOs in China to get its independent information. You know, who knows how accurate it is? It's those CEOs report whatever they want to report, but at least it's not coming from the government. So I want to give credit to Leland and his team for that, you know, Herculean task, getting some kind of independent data out of China. But I also want to caution that it is a survey. You know, it's not a direct measurement, and we'll just have to see what happens. But what Leland is saying now, just out hot off the presses, their new report is that the Chinese have basically opened the spigots in the credit markets over there, and they've been not just helping out the big state-owned enterprises or larger companies, but even the smaller guys, you know, people sort of farther down on the food chain of credit worthiness are getting, everybody's getting loans. And that this is having a significant stimulatory impact in China. And we'll have to see. And this is the good news, perhaps, for the audience, is that if this is real, if this is happening, if the Chinese are stimulating a higher level of growth in the economy, then we should see that in the numbers soon. And we'll see it not only in the official numbers, which, you know, take with a grain of salt, but you'll also start seeing it on their import numbers. And we should see it on metals prices because, of course, China's the 800-pound gorilla in that space. So I'm not saying, yay, it's off to the races. China's stimulating, so commodities prices are about to boom. I'm just saying that we have this report, which, if it's confirmed, should have a very substantial impact on metals prices and commodities in general. And I think that's particularly important at this time where the global economy is not looking so good. We keep hearing, you know, worse reports out of the ECB and even in the U.S. The Fed keeps saying there's no problem, there's no recession even on the horizon, but we're going to be patient. you know, and they have, in fact, lowered their outlook for U.S. growth going forward. Not to recession levels, but they've lowered their outlook. So everywhere else around the world, things are kind of looking grim, and it makes sense for metals prices to be under pressure. If this is true, what we're hearing about China, though, that could be, you know, the turnaround signal that sparks another rally upwards. We'll just have to see. Something I think I wouldn't get in front of this. I'm not rushing out buying industrial metals myself right now, but I'm watching this closely, and if it's confirmed, that would be very good news for us.
This actually sounds a whole lot like the 2008 rebound as well, when China came out and used a bunch of different stimulus packages to actually support a lot of resources. We heard about just how much stockpiling they did. Do you think that what happened back then is also possible now, even considering that they have still a lot more debt and you could argue a bit more of a struggling economy right now?
Sure, but if you're you know, the Communist Party of China, you have a lot less resistance from the bureaucracy or the people to whatever you think is wise. And it, going back to what you said about the playbook we've seen, okay, it wasn't the same president, it wasn't Xi there, but it's largely the same group of people, same general outlook and how to do things. And it wasn't that they were trying to support commodities or metals prices. It's that they were trying to prop up the economy, and that consumed a lot of raw materials. So that was a side benefit for us as resource investors. But it wasn't just stimulation of business. It was a very direct impact in infrastructure spending, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in new railroads and all this stuff. And so flash forward today, 2019, and you have the new Silk Road, the One Road program, right? And it's a very similar page from the playbook where I could absolutely see them just deciding this is what we're going to do. Whatever it does to our credit rating, we don't care. We're going, you know, this is how we're going, full steam ahead. And that would be very bullish for commodities. And I just want to stress again that I'm not predicting this. I'm not telling, you know, my readers or your listeners to start backing up the truck for copper and nickel and whatever else plays, because this is about to happen. Honestly, I don't know. We have a survey that's sounding a bullish note, a very bullish note. And if that plays out, you know, this could be the thing that helps out the broader resource sector. Actually, the flip side is true, not for all resources, but the flip side is true for the precious metals, which shows that they're not always just like pork bellies or any other commodity. I think if this process breaks down, if the Chinese, you know, try the stimulation and it doesn't work, and the trade war doesn't end, and Europe keeps slowing, and Brexit knocks it sideways, you know, if a lot of the bad stuff that's on the table right now comes to fruition, it will be very bad for industrial commodities, you know, writ large. But I think the panic, the fear sphincters opening and dumping all that adrenaline into bloodstreams all around the world will be very, very good for precious metals.
So what are you going to be watching to get some sort of confirmation if China is doing what they could do and driving these metals much higher? Is it simply just watching price, or are there any kind of indicators or background data that you're going to be really paying close attention to?
Well, I would look at the official numbers and pronouncements. You know, I assume mentally that they're all massaged and I discount accordingly. But if they do report a turnaround, it's likely that there was some kind of turnaround, maybe not as much as they say, but, you know, there's something has changed. And, you know, if they report infrastructure spending, they're going to do that. That's not the sort of thing they make up. And we should see it. And at the official import numbers, if it's real, you know, whatever they say will be what we hear first. But then we'll see it in the impact on the import statistics. We'll see it on inventory levels, and we'll ultimately see it on metals prices. So the proof in the pudding will be the metals prices. And by the way, I'm perfectly happy. I'm perfectly happy to not be early. Like I could make a case for, oh, let's rush in now. Let's position ourselves on the metals most likely to benefit the most from this. And then when everybody else realizes the truth and catches up, well, you know, we'll have these big gains from being in early. That is true. But the risk is proportionate to those gains, right? Because it may not happen or it may backfire. So I think that's pretty risky. And I'm not personally doing that. I'm quite happy to jump on the bandwagon once it's already in process. When I see that this is a trend in motion, you know, it's not going to fizzle out in a day. It's once the Chinese get that ball going, rolling, I think it rolls for quarters, maybe years, and plenty of time to profit there with much less risk.
Well, and I think that's a very key distinction, because you constantly hear these people who want to be bullish on the metals say, you have to be in now, you have to catch that first move higher. I understand how much gains you can get by being in early and catching a falling knife and managing to hit the bottom. But quite frankly, that's not what the best traders do. The best traders wait for some sort of a sustained uptrend, and then it's a much safer investment. Can you describe maybe how you manage your portfolio in this sense as well, not trying to get too cute there, picking an exact bottom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's if there's one thing that Doug Casey, Rick Rule, and all of my mentors as I grew up in the industry taught me, is exactly that. Nobody can time a market reliably. You know, maybe you might get lucky and, you know, bottom tick something, but, you know, nobody does it all the time. Nobody can tell you exactly when is the perfect time to buy in. So you don't try to do that. You wait to see that the bottom is in.
All right, Lobo, some good, I think, advice for these people watching the resource sector and trying to pick the bottom, also trying to pick some high-quality stocks. Again, Lobo writes The Independent Speculator. I will post a link, but if you do want some more information, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. Lobo, thanks for your time this weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, we are getting a company update from Orin Resources and the executive chairman, Ivan Bebek. We have Orin traded on the TSX and on the NYSE under the symbol AUG. Ivan, I first want to just address the fact that the stock has been moving very nicely. It's up about 70% over the last number of months, and this is on the back of some good news, but also I think can be attributed to a general almost melt-up or positivity around the exploration companies in Peru that are actually doing some work. Can you address some of these moves in the share price, please?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's great to be back, and nice to finally see that the market's catching up to the story. And it's one thing to be very ambitious and excited about your project, but it's sometimes frustrating when the market really doesn't see that and how fundamentals are behind the share price. What really did it for us here in the last few weeks and the start of the year has been the news coming out of our Sombrero project. And if you listened to us about a year ago or several of my interviews, we've compared it to being something of the caliber of a Las Bambas, which if you convert to gold for the simplicity of the readers, that's about a 60 million ounce gold deposit, $60 billion of metal in the ground, which sold for $8 billion in 2014. The big trench that really triggered the market is the one we just announced for 184 meters of 0.57 grams per ton, or sorry, 0.57 copper gold equivalent. That's a copper number. That is comparable to the 0.6 average grade of Las Bambas. This was down on the edge of the system, but it does connect about a 4 kilometer long target, you know, with 109 meters of 0.7 at the end of that target.
There's been a lot more information coming from the project internally that's given us a lot more confidence as we've been, you know, preparing and looking forward to a lot more news that's going to come to the market in the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I think you're seeing a general understanding of how big the opportunity really is and how real that is at Sombrero. I think what's really impressed our team is the grades that keep showing up everywhere. Within the 100 meters, you have 20 meters of 1.5% copper. You're seeing 20 meters of a gram gold. There will be a major gold component to what we find, but the copper number looks like it's going to rank in the higher grade of copper deposits, not just in Peru, but globally. So, yeah, tremendous trench. Took a while for the market to digest it. You know, a lot of the market interest has been driven by people slowly putting the pieces together. As a visionary, both technically and corporately, we are, you know, 2 months ahead of everyone else, and we think the system is going to go all the way to be a significant discovery. So that's been the driver. You saw that we did a small financing at $1.60. When we announced that, we did it without a warrant, and it was at market. It was done a week ago on Friday when the share price was closed at $1.60. And so, you know, to do a financing like that and do it predominantly internally, friends, family, and a key investor, as well as insider participation, which was quite significant for us, was a real message to the market that we really, really believe that we're onto something huge with Sombrero. And, you know, just a classification of the inside buying, because I've done so much of it. As the executive chairman, I bought about $3.2 or $4 million worth of shares predominantly out of the open market. This inside purchase was the single largest transaction in one shot. It was about just shy of $1 million in this financing. And so that's a statement to me and to the rest of the team. It was led by a new director. You'll see his filing shortly, by the name of Jeff Mason. Jeff Mason has an incredible pedigree of being formerly the CFO for the Hunter Dickinson Group. He was part of Great Panther Silver, the CFO there, and that led that company to the $1.5 billion transaction with Anglo. But what impresses me most about Jeffrey is not, you know, so much the big successful companies he's been part of. It's his technical understanding of these types of systems that appealed to him. So his buy was purely based off of that trench and understanding how big the system could be. And, you know, it's nice to see that kind of confidence internally.
So, Ivan, you say that this was a small financing, but in all fairness, it was announced for $3.5 million. You ended up raising over $5 million. That's not exactly a small financing in this market. We've seen a lot of companies announce financings, but to raise over $5 million, that's no small feat. And with, as you said, insider participation, can you just address the fact of how you guys still are able to raise nice amounts of money in still tough markets where money is not readily available?
Yeah, this was six investors. My dad bought $1 million worth of it. One of our largest shareholders bought 1.6. Another new large shareholder bought $1 million worth. And then the insiders took it from 3.5 to basically up to 5 million. That was the surprise order for me on the deal that came in after we announced it. And so, you know, I think that we have a pretty strong, very strong supportive network of friends, family, and shareholders that have helped us, you know, deliver our past successes, you know, helped us set up Orin. But, you know, I have to disagree with the number being small or big. I guess in this market, you're right. It's bigger than most are raising. But this was just pass the hat around to the people that are closest to you that believe in what you're doing. And that was the easy way to do it. We were getting offered money out of the U.S. For bought deals that we elected not to do. We could have raised quite a bit of more money if we had said yes to them. I think we would have been able to raise probably in the $15, $20 million range quite easily. This, again, is being driven by Sombrero. And if I talk to you real seriously about potentially finding, you know, a 50-million-ounce equivalent gold deposit with really good grade, you know, or, you know, $60 billion worth of copper in the ground, you got to think this financing is a rounding error, you know, on the interest that would be off something, you know, that substantial. It's actually a very, very, very small financing. We didn't want to do a warrant, and that was why we stayed internal, passing the hat around. You know, the market may have wanted one. We didn't want to entertain that. And when we do bought deal financings, it costs a lot of money to do them. You know, we raised last March about $11 million. It cost us $900,000 in exchange fees plus commissions and everything else. that's expensive, you know, on doing bought deal fundings. So, you know, in an effort, and this is the real signal that I want you and everyone to understand, we did a small financing. We started at 3.5. We were surprised by insider participation. It took us up to 5 and change. This was intentionally kept small because we think we have some tremendous news to re-rate us before we look at additional financing, you know, options coming forward before we go drill. You could argue that part of this financing could easily start drilling, so we don't have to even go raise any more money to go drilling. But at the same time, you know, I think there'll be some great news between now, and there'll be a lot of speculation that's going to come into the story once we complete our rounds globally to show everybody how Sombrero is really coming together with a ton of confidence, you know, biasly and unbiasedly by third parties that have had a look at it so far.
All right. So, Ivan, before we get into where or what actual exploration you're going to be doing, there was another quick question that came in that addresses recent news about the CFO resigning. Can you give us a little bit more color on the CFO, why he's resigning when it does sound like it's a very exciting time for the company?
Yeah, we've had this question quite a bit in the last 24 hours. You know, why would our CFO, who's worked with us for 9 years, leave on the eve of some of the biggest discoveries that we'll probably make in our careers? And, you know, I'll first start off by saying it's extremely harmonious. Peter Reese has been incredibly valuable to our organization. We wish him the absolute very best, but, you know, his choice is nothing related towards the project, the company, or the mining market. He's choosing a different path, and, you know, everybody has their own personal reasons, and he's exploring a different venture. And, you know, we can't interfere with anyone's personal lives, but he's remaining a shareholder, and he's going to be following our progress and be in constant contact with us. But it has no implication on anything, and he gave us about 6 months notice. So it's not something that was decided imminently overnight that he wants to quit and move on. So again, people have different plans for themselves personally, their families, and different goals and aspirations in life. We're just happy we got to spend 9 years with the guy building some tremendously successful companies. And he's remaining a very avid shareholder, and we'll be in constant touch with him. And importantly for us, Stacy, who's taking over the role as CFO, well, she's worked side by side with Peter through all of Orin and for quite some time. So she's been trained by him to do things, and there'll be no disruption to our business activities in Peru or in Canada. So, you know, it's sad for us to see him go, but we're friends. We talk to him daily. And I think if you want to measure what's going on corporately with insiders, whether, you know, Peter's departure or not, you have to look at the inside buying comment I made. The single largest insider purchase of our company took place a week ago. And if that's not a signal to anybody out there looking at what's going on in Orin, I don't know what is.
All right. There you have it. Update from Orin Resources and Ivan Bebek. I want to first thank you, Ivan, for taking some time this weekend, and I want to thank everybody for tuning into our radio show. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from everybody, and I also find all of the questions and insights that you guys have very, very valuable. Ivan, great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your weekend, and everybody, the same goes for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.